It's good we can laugh, huh? Hallelujah. So let's stay a bit on the funny side. I want to start with a little joke. Pastor Scheller actually gave that joke once, and it stuck with me. But I don't know it in my head, so I still have to read it. So it's about all of us, kind of. Hello, and welcome to the Mental Health Hotline. If you are obsessive, compulsive, press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, please ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, we know who you are and what you want. Stay on the line so we can trace your call. If you are delusional, press 7 and your call will be transferred to the mothership. If you're manic depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one will answer. If you have bipolar disorder, please leave a message after the beep, or before the beep, or after the beep. Please wait for the beep. If you have short-term memory loss, press 9. If you have short-term memory loss, press 9. If you have short-term memory loss, press 9. If you have a low self-esteem, please hang up. All operators are too busy to talk to you. And, no, nobody's getting offended here. If you are blonde, don't press any button. You will screw it up anyways. So. I like that joke. I think we all can find ourselves in some of these. So, let's go to the Word. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time here. We thank you for laughter, but we thank you mainly for you, that you are great God. And we just pray that you speak to us, that empty me of myself, fill me with you, and give us ears to just hear from you. And through your Spirit, give a word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to read kind of almost a whole chapter. What we're going to look on today is Matthew chapter 28. And I think the best is if we're just going to read through the whole chapter, and then we're going to go through it a bit more slowly afterwards. So Matthew 10, 28, so after Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and then we have this story. So it starts in chapter, verse number 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." Now, while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble." And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. All right. So first I want to look at one thing, like to put us in the situation where this story is really happening, like into the woman and into the disciples. Just Jesus called out the disciples out of Galilee, and they gave up everything and they followed him. And they saw these amazing things happening in their life, like they saw Jesus healing people, they heard him preach, they had a relationship with him. And their life, everything, their whole old life was gone, and their whole life was now, okay, I'm with Christ. That's my life now. I follow him. See what he will do, like multiplying the bread. And then out of a sudden, I have to go to the cross. People hang him, kill him on the cross, and he's crucified. And just to think like, and now what? Like this, that was my life. And they killed him. Like, especially Mary Magdalene, we know she was possessed by 7 demons. Like, her life was horrible, and Christ came and took the demons out of her and gave her a new life. Like, just the love that she had for him, and now he was crucified. And just the sadness that they had, like we read in the other gospel, they were weeping and mourning, and what is happening now? Like, I can't just go back and live my life like I lived it before. But I also can't follow in Christ anymore. He's not here anymore. What should I do? So just, okay, they're there and they have that. And we kind of can read here and in other verses, they didn't really expect the Christ to raise again. Like even if Christ told them many times, somehow they didn't have faith for it or they forgot about it, but they didn't expect that him. Here in the first verse we see, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. Like, and that was the third day. Like, it wasn't like they came to see, like, did Christ really rise from the dead or not? No, they came to give him, like, respect and a proper burial. Like, in other Gospels, they brought the spices to prepare his body for a proper burial. But they weren't really expecting him to be risen from the dead. It was not their expectation. So they came really sad there. And then we keep on reading. One thing, it always makes me giggle a little bit because, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. Like, I just imagine, like, this angel coming down, and just before, quick. So Pilate told all these soldiers, go and secure the stone, the grave, as good as you can. Like it says, make it as secure as you know how, in verse 65. So all these men, probably all the soldiers, say, okay, we have to make this secure. They put all their effort in as secure as they come. The angel comes down, and somehow imagine it, maybe with one finger. Okay, let's move this stone away, like really easily. And then he sits on the stone. Like, I don't know. It reminds me kind of these superhero movies when they come do something and then sit down. Ah, I did it. Now I wait for my next mission. But let's look, what did the soldiers did there? Like, his appearance was as lightning and his clothing as white as snow. The guard shook for fear of him and became like dead man. Like, the appearance of this angel was powerful. Like, the guards are like, wow. Like, they shook. Like, I don't know if you ever were in a situation where you were in such a shock that you almost can't move anymore. Maybe most, it's maybe if you have a car accident or something really bad happen and you're like, and this was the situation. They were like, what is happening here? Like, they were so shocked at the power of the angel, and they kind of knew, maybe we're not really on this angel's side. Like, what is going to do to us? Like, there was a lot of fear. Like, this angel can move this stone that easily. Like, what can he do to us? So they were full of fear. And then we know from the other Gospels, so this happened, all the soldiers left, and then the woman came. The woman were thinking, like, how can somebody move that stone for us? What is going to happen? So they came there, and then the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He's not here, for he has risen, just as he has said. Like, it's kind of a little bit of repro, like, He told you that he was risen. Like, you didn't believe in it? He told you that. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they see that angel, and the first thing, of course, they may be also like, ooh, what is happening here? The angel, don't be afraid, and he shows him, like, Christ is not here anymore. Like, he's risen. There's something happened here. And then the next verse I found really interesting, and they left the tomb quickly, so they were obedient. They say, okay, the angel told us that, let's go. But they left it with fear and great joy and ran to report it to the disciples. So, like, fear and great joy, how does that fit together? Like, many times we're like, I have joy or I have fear. But they had both. And I think, like, a great joy, they heard, like, the great news. What, Christ is risen? Like, what, Christ is not in the grave anymore? Wow, and the angel came and... But then, like, a fear maybe, I don't know, maybe they were doubting, like, wow. But can that really be true? Sounds almost too good to be true. Or maybe a fear like, what's going to happen to us now? Like, there were soldiers there protecting the grave, and now they know, like, Christ risen, they're going to come maybe after us, after the disciples now. So it's like this fear. And so many times I think we can have that fear, no? And the fear to, like, just imagine we... There's our natural lookout on things. But then there's the supernatural, or there is, like, the things in heaven. Like, we have this truth that Christ is risen from the dead. Christ forgave us all our sins. We are seated in heavenly places. We are secure. Like, we're going to be in heaven. And Christ loves us. We have eternal life. Like, there is these great truths that are there, and they can't change. But then we look at our life and maybe just simple things. So how can I pay the next bill? Or, oh, I have to talk to this person. It makes me feel uncomfortable. Or what's going to happen with my kids? Like, do I do the right thing? Or just little fears that are like, it doesn't really make sense when we have this big truth in front of us. And it's so many times we look at our natural thing like, it reminds me a lot of, like, this movie, like, Narnia. Or what's the other one? Not Lord of the Rings. It's not even a Christian movie. It doesn't really matter. Now I can't get it out of my head. I have to find it out. It's like with a dragon in it, and there are people. And no, it's a big white dragon. Somebody reading a book, and there in the story, there's people out of stones. The never-ending story, that's it. So it just reminds me there is a whole different world, kind of. And even in the Never Understanding, he has a book and he can go into that world. And that world, maybe in the story not, but in thing, it's a bigger reality than the reality kind of that we have here. And there is this reality out there that people kind of in their heart, they want, is there more? Like when you're out in Saratoga on the street, or even in our own lives, we kind of like, man, there has to be more. And I think God kind of put it in our heart. Like, we seek, like, there has to be more than what we have here. And there is this more out there. There's this amazing, like, God who loves us. This amazing God who gave us a purpose for this life. This amazing God who gave us a hope that nothing can this hope really destroy. It is secure. And this more is out there, but still many times we live in this life, kind of. In this life, in our perspective, where we just see the things in front of us and we don't really look up and see, like, wow, there is this more here. And so maybe they, in that time, they ran and they looked around and, like, oh, there are the Jews who maybe going to come. Or maybe that the angel told us Christ is risen, but maybe he isn't risen. Maybe that's too good. Or we don't understand. Like, there's maybe confusion. What does that mean now for our life? But then what happens? And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. So Jesus comes there. And that's our Savior. Like, we maybe have fear and we maybe are insecure and we have maybe a great joy. It's not like they were excited that Christ was risen, but it came with that fear. And Jesus comes and meets them there. And they worshiped him. And Jesus said, the first thing, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Whatever you go through, whatever fears you have, don't be afraid. And he gives them a focus back again. He says, look, just do what I told you. Do what the angel told you. Do the work that I told you to do. That's why you're here. Stay focused on what you have to do. Don't focus on the fear or whatever. Just do what I told you. And when you do what I told you to do, I am with you and it's going to be okay. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. And one interesting thing that stuck out to me, like two times, the angel said it and Jesus, tell my brethren to go to Galilee. Why? They were in Jerusalem. Why Jesus just couldn't go to Jerusalem and meet them there? Why they had to go to Galilee? Does anybody know? I mean, I only can, it's not completely in scripture why it happened. I only can give like a guess or, I mean, we know it all started kind of in Galilee. We know all the disciples, the apostles, it says in Acts, it says, when the angel come and see, as you saw Jesus ascend to heaven, so he will come back. And he said to them, men of Galilee. We know many of them were fishermen at the Sea of Galilee, so they were called out of Galilee. So and Jesus kind of said, I'm in Galilee, come there. And sometimes maybe, what did the disciples, what was their mindset? Like we know in Acts 1:6, it says like, when Jesus comes back after he was resurrected, he said, will you now set up the kingdom here in Israel? So they still have kind of the mindset on like, oh, Jesus will set up a kingdom here. Like they had something in their mind where they thought that's Jesus is and that's his plan and that's what he will do. But then Jesus said, go back to Galilee where I called you. Remember what man you were. Like you had your life, but you were living in the world. Like everything that happened, I called you out of it. It didn't really have anything with what you had to do and you didn't really know who I was, and you get to know me and all of that. But many times, maybe we have our life and we get an idea of who God can be, an idea what maybe God's plan can be. But Jesus says, go back to Galilee where I called you. And not just maybe really going to that place, but in your heart, go there and see me like again with that excitement. See me like, I have a plan for you that you maybe don't know yet. You maybe have your ideas in your heart about me, but go back to Galilee and I'm going to change you there. I'm going to show you again what really, who I really am. And so I find that interesting because even then, it's not, what does he say after Galilee? Where do they have to wait for the Holy Spirit? In Jerusalem again. So it's not just go out, like even there, we can maybe go to church. We go to church, we read our Bible, we pray, but then it's then church, pray, Bible reading. It's all good, but we maybe even have to focus on this thing and not like, I pray to God. I read in the Bible about God. Like I go to church to hear a message, to experience the body of Christ. And then Christ says, take a step back. Come where it all started. And it's all about me. I called you out. This is about me. You don't really know much, but I will teach you. Come back there. And then when you change, when you see me from fresh again, then in the body, the things will change also. When you do your religious things in a way, you will have me in the center again. So we have that story. And then one thing that, what's the time we have here? Want to put a bit more focus on. So now, while the women were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. So they came there and said, wow, this angel came, like, and he rolled the stone away, and Jesus wasn't there anymore. And they're still probably like, you know, when something really excited happened, like, you're still like full of adrenaline, and like, this all happened. And what happened afterwards? And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep." So one thing, imagine they came and say like, wow, they stole Jesus. And what's the answer of the elders there? Like if you would think that wouldn't happen, they would say, "You maniacs, that never happened. We don't believe in that." But we can see in their response, they kind of believed that that really happened. Because they wanted to make them, but yeah, it happened, but be quiet about it. Be quiet about it. And they gave him a lot of money. And it's just to put in your guard, the guards, they knew that that really happened. They knew that there really, there must be a God. They maybe even believed or knew in their mind, wow, this Jesus, maybe they didn't know who he really was, but this Jesus must be special. Like if an angel comes, destroys that, something must be out about this Jesus. But then what they take the money and they did as they were told. And it's kind of in the world, what does the world say? He gives us a lie and it goes over generation. Maybe the lie of like how everything was created, that we came from monkeys or whatever. And over generation, this lie is told and people don't even question it maybe anymore. But one thing, they gave them money. Why money? Why they had to give them money? Why they just couldn't say, okay, tell this lie, but we make sure nothing will happen to you. Because we know, I mean, these soldiers kind of were in danger. They had to protect, they didn't do their job. They had to protect the grave, and they didn't really do it. Why they wanted to give them money? And like, what is money? What does money really mean? And that's something that we had like in the radical study. And I was a bit awakened to that fact. If you want to open maybe your Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Like money by itself is just paper. Like we don't really care about the paper that it is, but maybe the comfort that it can give us, maybe the security and the things that we can buy with it. And so, and these disciples gave up like this, I mean, soldiers gave up, okay, there's a Christ, there is something that could call us, and they replaced it with money. They replaced that, the truth that they knew with money, with a false comfort that the world wants to offer us. And let's read here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's start in verse 6 for content. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with this we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires will plunge man into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things, you men of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So what does it say we should be content with? With food and covering. So in a way, if we should be content with that, then what is the network? But those who want to get rich. So all the people who want more than food and covering are the ones who kind of want to get rich. And to be honest, like many times when I read about paragraphs in the Bible about wanting to be rich and about rich people, that's not about me. Like, I'm living in America, look around. I'm not a rich person here in America. But when we look around the world, we are really rich. Really rich. Like, we all have a nice car out there. We have a house. We all can buy a big TV. I can go and buy myself a coffee every day at Stewart's or Dunkin' Donuts. It's not a problem. And what happens? What happens when we want to get rich and have the temptation? That's maybe something, especially in America. it just happened. We used to it. We used it. It's maybe one of these lies that just for generation we're like, no, that's just how it is. And we're not really aware anymore that we are actually really rich. And falling into temptation and a snare, like in verse 9, and many foolish and harmful desires. Like foolish and harmful desires. Like especially Black Friday. What are they? Foolish and harmful desires. Like you get maybe, hey, you want a bigger TV, a few inches more. Hey, you want this great new game console or whatever. It's a bit faster than the old one. Is there any eternal value to it? And just a warning for us, many times we maybe have these foolish desires in us for things. Like even when I go grocery shopping, yeah, let's take this and this and some of the things I maybe don't even need. Like I'm just used to this. I have the money, I can get what I want. I don't have to worry about it. But these foolish desires, it's not just one. They can harm us. Because what takes it away? Even we have maybe a security in our money. We maybe have a comfort in there. But it takes away the God, the comfort and security God wants to give us. And we have to be, in a way, aware of that. It says it here, like, clearly they will do that. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith. And what is the answer? He says, flee from these things. Fight the good fight of faith, and then take hold of the eternal life. Like, take hold of the eternal life. It's not just like, oh, these things are all bad, and we don't want to do that, but like, we focus on the eternal things. Okay, what can I do with my money that has eternal value? And it says here in verse 18, or even 17, instruct those who are rich in this present world. And we are rich in this present world. Not to be conceited or to fix their hope in the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. I mean, there is the balance. It's not like we only can have what we need. There's no want that I can have. Like God gives us these things to enjoy. But also just to think about God sees one kid in Africa starving from death, starving, that has nothing to eat. It's one kid in America, he gets 20 toys for Christmas. Like, what do you think is God's heart on that? Like, there is one thing, yeah, I give him a toy and he should enjoy his toy. And it's okay, that's our heart, but it's like we're indulging in ourselves in all these things. And it says, and instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasures of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. And that was just something for me, and I wanted to share it because I thought it was with Matthew. There's this money. Like, why is there money in there? Why do they need money? Because money is something that gives us a wrong hope. It gives us something, a foolish desire maybe, that God says, like, get the eternal life, focus on the eternal life. Like this man, if they weren't offered the money, the priest wouldn't, maybe they were saying, like, wow, I can't get this out of this head. I can't get it out of my head. This really happened. An angel come, who is Jesus Christ? But the money kind of blinded them for it. They took the money and gave out the lie. They were blinded by it. And I think it's a warning for us too that we can be blinded by that. Let's go back to Matthew 28. So one last point. So in verse 16, I don't know, other translation maybe read a bit different, but it says, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee. So maybe the world did these things. Maybe the world says, let's explain God out of that. Let's make something up that we can explain. Yeah, the disciples stole it. Let's make God. God wasn't in that picture. But the disciples, they went. They proceeded to Galilee. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some were doubtful. And the word here, doubtful, is distazo, and it means to stand in two ways, implying uncertainty which way to take. So they went, and that's now for even more for us, like maybe we take a step of faith, we hear from Christ, and we go, and then maybe still the doubt comes in. And it's interesting, the only other time, now the exact Greek word is used is in Matthew 14, when Peter leaves the boat and walks, and then he looks at the wave, and Jesus says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you look there?" And that's ours. We maybe take a step of faith. We want to focus on Christ, and we walk, but then doubt comes in. We have like our old life, or we have our natural thinking, and then we're like, yeah, but that, like, can I really do that? Is it really possible? Like, one thing that I think people are most afraid of, like, we always say, God, change us through this message, change us. But we are so afraid of change. We're so used to who we are, who the world is functioning around us, and we're actually afraid of it. And doubt comes in there at that point where it's like he sees Jesus, he focuses on him, and then he sees the waves. And the same with this man. They walk, and Jesus told him he's there, and there Jesus is really there, and they're like, man, he's risen from the dead. And they also know we forsook him when he died on the cross. Like, what is going to happen here? Like, can I really take this step? Like, it's an uncertainty to take this step. And we maybe stand there on the crossroad, like, I can go just to the back, to the way that I know how it's going to work out. Like, I can go my normal way where I know how everything works. I know who I am. I'm more a shy person. I don't like to do that. I like these things. I don't like these things. I know I get up, do my job. Or I can go to Jesus. And he's maybe like, no, Remo, you're not a shy person anymore. You're this person now. No, Remo, you love people now. Like, I'm going to change you. I give you a new identity and be like, but I don't know this new identity. I don't know who you tell me I should be. I want to be who I know I am. So that's the crossroad where we're like, okay, Jesus, let's go to you. And then Jesus came to them, and then we have kind of the Great Commission, and we're kind of out of time. But just one last point that I want to bring out. When we hear that verse there, you know, what's the Great Commission? Make disciples. Go into all the nations, make disciples. But how we do that, and it's the verse before and the verse afterward that we many times forget. Like, Jesus comes to them, yeah, I died on the cross. They thought like it's over, but Jesus comes like, hey, I raised. I'm a king. I have all power in heaven and on earth. All power is given unto me. I'm the king now. And what's the last thing? And I am with you. Like, Jesus is the king, has all power. That's one thing. And then he says, go make disciples. And then it's the last thing. How we do that? Because he is with us. He never leaves us. He is the one when we fall and doubt. Like, that's the great thing. It's not that we're not going to fall. It's not that we're not going to doubt. It's not that we're not going to have fear anymore. What did Jesus do when Peter fell? Immediately he grabbed him and took him up again. When these people have fear, where was Jesus? He showed up and said to them, don't be afraid, let's go on. And that's the Jesus that we have. He's not saying like, okay, let's give up. He says, no, I'm here, let's go, let's keep going. He's not changing his commandments. He still says, go out and make disciples. He still says, love your enemies. He still says these things that we can't do by ourselves, but he says, I'm with you. And if you fall, I come and grab you. And just go and do these things. Amen. So, Father, we just come before you and just pray that you use these words, and just pray that in our mind, that in Colossians it says, Lord, set your mind on the things above, not on the things here on earth, Lord. Because we have died with you, Lord. We died with you, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. Help us to see you, who you really are, and the new life that we have, to walk in the newness of life, Lord. To walk, to have the newness of the Spirit, Lord, and not the oldness of the letter, Lord. Just we pray for this newness, Lord, that it gets a hold of us, Lord, that it shakes off our fears, our doubts, Lord, and that you direct us, Lord, that we, when we are on this crossroad, that we say, I don't understand, but I choose to come to you, Christ. I choose to come to Galilee. Thank you, Lord. Just do a work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good to be with you all, definitely. I'm not going to stay for prayer tonight because I have to get the DeMatteos home to bed. No. They said they want to get me out of here sooner rather than later because my wife is like, she doesn't know what to do with me. Anyways, but good words we've heard tonight. And if you want to take a few minutes for fellowship, I'm sure that the men here will lead you in prayer in about 10 or 15 minutes, about 10 minutes, by about quarter after. So appreciate your prayers. Thank you for those of you that were praying for me today. And let's keep praying for Dr. Allie and his wife. I told all the people that took care of me today, it's a bunch of people. That they had prayers going up for the doctor and the whole team. So there was probably more than half a dozen nurses at different points that were taking care of me, plus Dr. Allie and another intern that was Mo, that was there operating on my knee. So just be praying for them. I want eternal fruit. If I got to pay the medical bill and, you know, recovery and all that stuff, I want some eternal fruit from this. And I don't even know what I did to cause this injury. I mean, most of my other injuries, I had some fun doing them anyways, but this one was just like, what? My knee is mulched inside? So, yeah. They let me watch on the screen. So, yeah. They stick a camera. They put a screen. They put a curtain between me and the operation. So strange. You know, they numb me from the waist down. So as they put me in the operating room, this woman grabs my leg and holds it up, and they start scrubbing. I'm like, that's my leg? I really identified with my brother. Totally. And so I couldn't actually watch them sticking the camera in my knee and then the hedge clippers and miniature hedge clippers. That's what they look like on the screen. So... but the meniscus was kind of a mess in there. It was really pretty mulched, and he's just in there cutting and scraping. And yeah, so it looked pretty clean when he got done. We'll find out. But thanks for your prayers. And especially Gil, because he's like an ox of a guy. But for him to be down, he broke his back. Actually, other guys broke his back for him a couple years ago, but he recovered. But, it's... recovery is not like 100% with all that stuff. So with his sickness, it complicated with his back. Now, he was back to work, last I knew. But so be praying for Gil and Donna and other things. Pray for the church in Albania, the church in Tirana, and as God leads you. But just remember, pray loud enough so everybody else can hear you. If one of you guys, Pastor Dennis, if you stay for prayer, I often, if somebody starts praying quietly, I bring the mic over and stick it in their face, close to their face. But anyways, it's good to be with you. I would no place I'd rather be. My wife's looking at me strange, like, can't you just stay home and, you know, relax? I said, well, I could, but why would I want to do that? I've been laying around all day, you know. Now it's time to go to church and be with the saints.